Memories of that song go back to going into second grade at Cathedral of the Pines Church Camp. That's the song that we all sing in that little chapel on the lake at Lutzen that you all support with your ministry and offerings. And that song of Precious Lord, Take My Hand, and somehow it's morphed into whenever I'm up there with the kids, I hold hands with my daughters or my wife. And now they're passing that around, so you got a whole row of staff people holding hands at the end of a worship service. It's pretty cool. Dr. Berger, thank you. Did he ditch? He knows the sermon's bad. I knew it. Isn't that guy good? Holy moly, we are so blessed to have gifts. So truly greetings from Cathedral of the Pines Camp. Thank you for your generosity for helping complete strangers in their walk with Christ. Those kids get off the bus and they go right into chapel. We have a little short prayer time and then they get all divided up into stuff. And some of those kids who come have never heard that Jesus loves them. You make that possible. We remind those kids every single week that those words of Jesus at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, I am with you always to the close of the age. How long is always? I asked the third, fourth, and fifth graders, and one kid says, forever. They picked me to go up to third and fourth grade week because they think that I'm the third, fourth, and fifth grader in calendar, the same maturation level. I don't know. The pastors vote on that stuff, so we had a great week. They start the day at camp with the bell going off, and they clean up. They come and have a little worship service in this little chapel on the lake. Then they go to have breakfast, and you sing before you eat and after you eat. Who prays before they eat? Who prays after they eat?
Me neither.
We're doing that with kids. Pray before you eat, of course, because Mom said so. I don't ever remember praying after you eat with gratitude. We sing a song thanking God for the food. It's amazing. After that, they go clean their cabins because, you have a bunch of kids in one little cabin. It can get kind of clean cabin. And then we have the kids all go to a Bible class. It takes about an hour. They get in there. We pray. We sing songs. We share a Bible verse. We talk about a theme for the week. This week was about senses. The senses, the sight and hearing and smelling and tasting and touching, right? We talked about those gifts that God gives us. How do we use those gifts? And then we ask kids questions. And then we really encourage them to ask questions. I tell them, I only want you to ask questions until you're dead. Ask questions. It's okay and a safe place to ask questions. It's amazing what you hear, too, when you ask them questions. One kid said, sitting here, and the other kid sitting here, this one says, how do we know the Bible's the truth? How do you know it's not just a bunch of made-up stories? This kid said that fast, because God doesn't lie. Third, fourth, and fifth graders. It's like, wow, this is cool. You ask them, and the questions that they how they answer is beautiful. So at the end of the last Bible class that we had before they leave the next morning, I asked the kids, hey, tonight I'm going to call on you in worship and ask you the question of, have you ever received a gift that was very meaningful for you? Something that really, truly makes a difference that you really cherish. Sure, so they show up and I ask some questions. I start by saying, those gifts, how much did those gifts cost you? One kid says, gifts, duh, they don't cost a thing, they're free. Huh. And then I say to him, well, could you humor me, please? Humor the gray-haired old man. Check your pulse. So these kids are going, check your pulse, go ahead, come on. Check your pulse, you feel that? That blood flowing through your vein? That didn't cost you a thing. God did that. And then take a deep breath. So they all take a deep breath. Go ahead, take a deep breath. Make sure you let it out. Did you feel that? That didn't cost you a thing. God gave you that. Those little lines on your fingers. God did that. You didn't do that. gifts. We receive all sorts of gifts, each one. So I asked them specifically, I say, now, by show of hands, because it's always nice to get a large group of third, fourth, and fifth grade, and they start yelling out stuff. So you call on them, tell me a special gift you received and why it was special to you. So the first kid sitting right here, we have boys on one side, girls on the other, for obvious reasons, fourth, fifth, and sixth graders, right? Kid sitting over here, and I get down out of the pulpit, and I walk down the aisle to kind of help him pay attention, maybe. And I said, well, what is your gift? Oh, when my grandpa died, they let me have his pocket knife, and I still have it. I said, oh, cool. I have a knife, too. Yeah. Then one little girl over in the back, really shy, good Lutheran, sitting in the back, right, next to her counselor, and she says, this doesn't have anything to do with what gifts or what you're talking about, but do you know that you baptized me? Melt a gray-haired old white man, right? Oh. And I said, that's perfect. You received the gift in your baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is what causes us to believe in the first place. And the kids are going, huh? Other gifts that you've received. So there's a girl in a green shirt sitting back there where Rich Miller's at. And she says, I have the gift of friends. I've made new friends. Cool. Little boy on that side in the back with a really nice white shirt on, looking good. He says, nice white shirt. What do you have? I have gifts of being in relationship with my friends. Third, fourth, and fifth graders. Then finally, the little girl on this side, sitting about where Big Al is, says, the gift of hugs. I saw kindness. I saw the gift of kindness. The lower ball field, the camp, the kids play softball, right? And there's different levels of athletic ability at camp, right? Third, fourth, and fifth graders. I can barely chew gum and walk, right? These kids, and then they're playing ball, and one kid obviously is not a very good athlete, doesn't have good hand-eye coordination, doesn't have a glove. I don't know if they're really picking on him or making fun of him, but he doesn't have a glove, and he's looking around. Can someone give him a glove? And the kid on the other team walks up and gives him his glove. The kid on the other team was the best player, the ball player they had. You caused that stuff to happen. You. So, the question, of course, you're asking is, what does that have to do with the scripture lesson we just read from 1 Corinthians? I'm so glad you asked, Judy. So, Paul is writing a letter to a church in Corinth City. And this is the first of two letters. So, do you think the congregation had any issues? Hello? Yeah. In this letter, he talks about spiritual gifts. Pastor Dixon read it so beautifully. People were comparing themselves to others. Well, I have this spiritual gift, and I have this spiritual gift, and I have this gift. And they're judging each other. Paul comes along and says, knock that off. There's no difference. Paul goes on to say that God gifts us with spiritual gifts that cost us nothing. For what reason? I think it's verse 7. Various gifts for the common good. We are given gifts for the common good, for the good of all of us, not for us to hold on to. Paul says these gifts do what? These spiritual gifts come along, and so things like envy and boasting and feelings of superiority are completely out of place. We have nothing to boast about. All that we have is given to us by our gracious Lord Jesus Christ. We don't receive spiritual gifts as rewards either, right? They're not merit badges that we earn. They are not indications of our spiritual expertise or intelligence or superiority. They're simply given to us, as it says in verse 11, as the Spirit wills.
gifts.
Each is given as a gift for the common good. Paul says there is no dissension, no divisions, no schism of the body, but every part needs to have respect and concern for the other. There's one body. And when one part of the body is hurting, we all hurt. We all feel it. When one member is honored, we all rejoice when that person is honored. We celebrate. The whole body shares in joy. We grieve. How does Paul say it in Romans 12? Is it verse 15? We rejoice with those who rejoice, and we weep with those who weep. You. The way we care for one another is by knowing one another and by entering into each other's joys and sorrows, by sharing our hopes and disappointments, our hurts and our heartaches, our aches and our pains and our victories and our struggles. We come alongside one another, right? And we spur each other on. We love one another. Maybe that's what that kid was talking about when that one kid said friendship. Others said relationship, maybe. There's a woman whose name is Mary. She makes frequent trips to the post office. Pretty much every day. One day she goes to the post office and she's startled because there's a huge line to go see the people at the post office, those postal clerks. One guy walks up to her, realizing that Mary only needs some stamps. This person says, hey, Mary, you don't need to wait here. There's a stamp machine right over here. You can get your stamps and go. Mary says, yeah, I know that. But the machine can't ask me how my arthritis is. Maybe that's the gift of hugs. As Christians, ideally, we honor one another, right? Above ourselves. We hear and bear with one another. We pray for one another. We comfort one another. We encourage one another. And we share with one another. We forgive one another. We bear one another's burdens, and we use our gifts that have been given to us for the betterment of all. As it says again, verse 7, for the common good. Last story, time to wake up. Ready? It's a story about four people. Ready? Their names are Everybody, Somebody, Anybody, and Nobody. You got them? That's their names. There's an important job to be done. And everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry about that because that was everybody's job and everybody thought anybody could do it, but nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. And in the end, it ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. Let's go back to those third, fourth, and fifth graders at camp. Our prayer for them and for you and for each other is that as we continue to discern what God is calling us to gift, what gifts we have been given by God, that them, you, us, all of us will come to know the love of God, which surpasses all understanding through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thanks for making a difference in people's lives. Thanks for your partnership in the gospel. God bless you.